जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर ललिता विशाखा की जय। श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय। श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय। श्री पंच तत्व की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। ओम ज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं, वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be back with all of you living in and around Ottawa in Canada. Lakshmi Moni Mataji has always been kind upon me to engage me in some of the other service of giving a class here or there. So, at her request, I'm once again with you. And this time I have also the good fortune of seeing His Grace Guru Prasad Prabhu. who met me in Vrindavan many years ago, but unfortunately my Kali Yuga memory failed me and I was not able to recall, but he was kind enough to remind me. So I'm happy to have his association and also to be with all of you today. There are other devotees who are also joining on other platforms like Facebook and some others, I'm not sure. So today, Lakshmi Moni Mataji asked me to speak on the glories of Gadadhar Pandit, because his disappearance day anniversary was just a few days ago. I don't know when you observed it in Canada, in Ottawa, but here we had it on Friday. And in some parts of India it was Saturday. So in any case, because Gadadhar Pandit is such an important personality for us, it is important for us as devotees of ISKCON, as followers of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to hear about Gadadhar Pandit. Now, specifically as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is all the more important, and we'll see why. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the beginning, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us that the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna has manifested himself in a form of five forms that we call the Pancha Tattva. Tattva means the truths, and Pancha means five in Sanskrit. So he says that Krishna has advented himself in five forms, and he speaks a particular verse which is part of the invocation prayers that devotees generally chant, the Mangalacharana prayers. It's part of that. Pancha Tattvatmakam Rupam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So, Pancha Tattva Atmakam Krishnam. So, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has appeared in five forms which are non-different from Him. The word Atmakam indicates identity with oneself. So, these five forms of Pancha Tattva are to be considered non-different from Him. Now, these five elements are non-different than Krishna, but in different ways. So you know, difference or non-difference has to be understood in a nuanced way. When we say something is the same as somebody, as something else, and another thing may be the same as that thing, but in a different way, right? For example, Sandesh. Sandesh is a sweet that may be the same as jalebi or gulab jamun, because both are sweets. So in that sense they are the same because they are sweet. But if you look at it from the point of view of the composition of the ingredients, then they are different. There are different ingredients that make up the gulab jamun or the jalebi and the sandesh and so on. So then we should understand this word Atmakam, or the oneness, that Krishna is one with those five forms in ways that I will just explain in a few moments. So what are these five forms? The Pancha Tattva. And Pancha Tattva are very important, because when we go to Mayapur, you will see those five huge, large deities, magnificent deities of the Pancha Tattva. So the first is Bhakta Rupa. Rupa means the form, which means that Krishna has assumed the form of his devotee, Bhakta, and that refers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, when I say that Krishna has assumed the form of a devotee, one should not take that to mean that it is a temporary thing or it is a false thing, because I may assume the form of a king in a dramatic performance. Right, so I am only temporarily the king, I am a make-believe king, yes. But when we speak of Krishna manifesting himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is an eternal identity. Krishna is always Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or rather Mahaprabhu is always Krishna. It is just that there is a difference in their mood, because Mahaprabhu has appeared in the mood and with the complexion of Srimati Radharani, and he exists in this way eternally. So there is no particular time at which we can say that this is precisely when Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, he appeared on the earth at a certain point in time in that form. So that is how we have Gaur Purnima, the date of the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it doesn't mean that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born on that day in an ontological sense, in the sense of the spiritual world. He has always existed. But he just appears to be born. He goes through the motions of appearing through a mother and a father and so on, just like Krishna does when he appears in Braj. So Bhakta Rupa refers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna in the form of his devotee. The next is Svarupakam. Svarupakam means one who is his first expansion, who is non-different from him. And that refers to Nityananda Prabhu, who is none other than Balaram. And third is Bhaktavataram, that is Bhakta Avataram. Avatar means the incarnation of a devotee. And that is Advaita Acharya. We will not discuss all these personalities now because the topic is Gadadhar Pandit. But I am just mentioning it to put Gadadhar Pandit's position in proper context. And then we have Bhaktakhyam. Akhya means said to be. So Bhakta, so then there is the Bhaktakhyam. Bhakta here refers to Shivas Thakur. So he is also an important part of the Panchatattva. He was a Grihastha, as was Advaita Acharya. Nityananda Prabhu was an avadhut, a renounced transcendentalist, but who behaved in ways that was sometimes cause of confusion for others. And then finally, there is Bhakta Shaktikam. Shaktikam refers to the energy of Krishna, and this refers to Gadadhar Pandit. Now, the first three personalities of the Panchatattva, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, they are Vishnu Tattva, which means they are in the category of full Godhead. So they are directly God. They are Prabhu, Prabhu which means the Lord in this case, or the Master. But as Kaviraj Goswami has explained, of these three, two are Prabhus, Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu, because they are also the Supreme Lord. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahaprabhu. He is the great Prabhu, because he is the origin of all of them. It is from him that the others expand. So these three forms, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, they are Vishnu Tattva forms. Tattva again, as I said, means the truth. So they are in the category of Vishnu or Krishna, of full Godhead. Bhaktakhyam, the Bhakta or Shivas Thakur, he is considered an incarnation of Narad Muni, who is a Jiva, a spirit soul. So we call him Jiva Tattva, the principle or the truth of the individual living entity, who is a tiny part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And finally, we have Bhakta Shaktikam, the energy of Krishna, referring to Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit is considered, according to the Gaura Ganodesha Deepika, as well as the Chaitanya Charitamrita and all Gaudiya Vaishnava texts, as the incarnation of none other than Srimati Radharani, who is the original energy of Krishna. Krishna can be said to have many energies, infinite energies. So in one sense, it is not incorrect to say that Krishna has infinite energies. However, actually speaking, he has one energy, which is his internal energy. And that internal energy then manifests in innumerable ways to perform innumerable different functions. And according to the kind of functions those energies perform, they are named differently. So they exhibit different characteristics or different features. Otherwise, in one sense, all these energies are one and the same. So the energy of the Lord ultimately is Srimati Radharani. So she is the personification of the internal spiritual energy of Lord Krishna. So she is Shaktikam, the original Shakti, and she has manifested in Gaur Leela, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, as Gadadhar Pandit. So here in this Pancha Tattva, we see three tattvas being represented, all the three tattvas: the Vishnu Tattva, the Jiva Tattva, and the Shakti Tattva. So our personality for today is Gadadhar Pandit, who is Shakti Tattva. So now a brief word on what I mentioned earlier about the nuanced understanding of the oneness of Krishna with these five tattvas. So Krishna is the same as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he's also slightly different. He is different in the sense that Mahaprabhu's mood is the mood of Radharani. His complexion is also different, that of Srimati Radharani. So there's a simultaneous difference as well. So whenever we think in terms of oneness, there is also a difference. So whenever there is a difference, there is also a oneness. And this is an important philosophical principle. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught this as Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, the principle of simultaneous and inconceivable oneness and difference. So Chaitanya Krishna is in this way simultaneously one and different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As far as Nityananda Prabhu is concerned, yes, in the same way, he is one and different from Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram. And similarly with Advaita. But the difference between Krishna and Advaita is slightly different from the difference between Krishna and Nityananda Prabhu and Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Advaita Acharya is also considered the expansion of Mahavishnu. He also has a role to play. He has a very deep relationship with Sadashiva or Lord Shiva. So he is also another personality that requires a separate discussion. So this is as far as the oneness with the three Vishnu Tattvas is concerned in the Pancha Tattva. Then when it comes to the Jiva, that is Srivas Thakur or Narad Muni, yes, Krishna is one in quality with the Jivas, but he is different in quantity, as Srila Prabhupada has time and time again explained. And when it comes to the Shakti, that is Srimati Radharani or Gadadhar Pandit, Krishna is the Shaktiman, or the original source of the energy, the energetic. And Radharani is the energy. So the energetic and the energy are one, but they are also different from each other. Inasmuch as the sun and the sunshine are one and the same, at the same time they are also different. So here is the ontological category. Don't be scared by this word ontological. Ontological means that which refers to the category of the reality of the existential state of that personality or any object for that matter. So this is Gadadhar Pandit. Because the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, they also appear in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gaur Leela. And this has been described in the text called Gaur Ganodesha Deepika, the text that sheds light on the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes? In that it is described that Gadadhar Pandit is not only Srimati Radharani, the original energy of Krishna, but also one of Radharani's principal associates, Lalita Devi, has also entered into him. Now this concept of multiple personalities entering into one personality who appears here in this world is not something uncommon. It is frequently seen in the personalities in Gaur Leela. We won't go into it, but we'll see that happens many times. One person is primarily somebody, but then other personalities also enter into that person to relish the same mood and that same devotional sentiment. Okay, so therefore it is not, we shouldn't be surprised that whilst Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani, but Lalita Devi has also entered into him to savor that mood of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's pastimes there. Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, Gadadhar Pandit, being Srimati Radharani, is the fountainhead of all the Shaktis, of all the energies. Inasmuch as Krishna, the supreme energetic, is the fountainhead of all the personalities of Godhead, of all the other energetic personalities, like Balaram and then Sankarshan, Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, all the Narayan forms, Mahavishnu, etc. All those forms ultimately come from Krishna. So Krishna is the fountainhead of all the Vishnu Tattva forms, of all the forms of the Supreme Energetic. So similarly, Srimati Radharani, the Supreme Energy of Krishna, is the fountainhead or the origin of all the energies of Krishna. These energies of Krishna often manifest as consorts of the energetic personalities. Therefore, just as Radharani is the consort of Krishna, so we will find in Dwarka, for example, Rukmini Devi is the consort of Krishna or Dwarkadish, or in Ayodhya, Sita Devi is the consort of Ram, or in Vaikuntha, we see Lakshmi Devi is the consort of Lord Narayan. So, in this way, the consorts are energies. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has described that Srimati Radharani is the origin of all the three categories of consorts that we find in the spiritual and the material worlds. Material world meaning that they appear here in some particular form for fulfilling a purpose. So, specifically, she is the origin of all the gopis in Vraj. She is the origin of all the queens, ultimately, in Dwarka. And she is the origin also, ultimately, of all the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha. Lakshmis are the goddesses of fortune. And there are innumerable Lakshmis there in Vaikuntha, because the Vaikuntha comprises innumerable Vaikuntha planets. And on each of these Vaikuntha planets, there is a presiding deity who is a form of Lord Narayan. And Narayan always has a consort, who is Lakshmi. So all these Lakshmis are also expansions of Srimati Radharani. So this is how we can also understand Gadadhar Pandit, because he is non-different from Srimati Radharani. And he has manifested in Gaur Leela with a certain type of personality that was just suitable for relishing the mellows of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. There, in Mahaprabhu's Leela, Gadadhar Pandit manifests a certain, shall we say, such a deep devotion to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and such an obedient, or rather, I won't use the word obedient, because he did manifest disobedience, as I'll come to a little later, but a certain kind of submission and a certain softness that he manifests that also appears in Srimati Radharani's personality. So, Gadadhar Pandit was a childhood friend of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, as we all know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his childhood days was known as Nimai Pandit. He was Nimai because he was born under a neem tree. So, all through, whether in Mahaprabhu's days in Navadvip or in the days after Mahaprabhu took sannyas and relocated to Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit was always an associate, a constant associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Mahaprabhu is often referred to as Gadadhar Prananath. That means he is the lord of the life of Gadadhar Pandit. Yes? So, Gadadhar Prananath. So, Gadadhar and Mahaprabhu shared a very, very close and intimate bond. A few biographical points are important, although we'll focus on some pastimes and some philosophical discussions on that. But a few biographical points will be helpful for us. He appeared in near a place called Chittagong in present-day Bangladesh. Of course, this is a new political division that has come up only some decades ago, but ultimately, you know, used to be all one place at one point in time. So, he appeared in that area, and very soon he shifted to Navadvip, where Mahaprabhu was. He, from childhood, was a very renounced brahmachari. He had no interest at all in the pleasures of worldly life. And he had such a soft and mellow nature that he endeared himself to everybody. Everybody was very fond of him. He was also very scholarly. And the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Ishwar Puri, was very fond of him. He was very impressed with his renunciation and his austerities and his devotion as well. Gadadhar Pandit was known as a great devotee of Krishna even before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his devotion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initially exhibited himself as a dry scholar of grammar and logic. And so he would have many arguments with everybody else. And because he was so brilliant, nobody could defeat him. Or even come close to him in brilliance when it came to debates on various topics, which were not necessarily Krishna conscious or related to devotional topics, but they were topics related to some point of grammar or philosophy or something like that. So, Ishwar Puri was writing a book at that time called Krishna Leelamrita. And he was so impressed and so pleased with Gadadhar Pandit's behavior and his characteristics that he gave him many nice personal instructions from the Krishna Leelamrita. Now, Nimai Pandit actually used to engage in these debates with anyone and everyone. He would catch hold of all the big pundits and scholars and challenge them to debate. And he would make a proposition and ask the other person to refute it. When that person refuted it, Mahaprabhu would refute the refutation. And the other person would be flummoxed, he wouldn't know what to make of it. And Mahaprabhu would refute the refutation of the refutation. And in this way he would go back and forth till the other person was left bewildered and dazzled by the sheer brilliance of Mahaprabhu's, of Nimai Pandit's arguments. So in one such case, he asked Gadadhar Pandit, his friend, that can you define what liberation means? And Gadadhar Pandit quoted from some of the texts, Sanskrit texts, to say that atyantika dukkha nivritti, which means essentially the cessation of all miseries, the ultimate cessation of all miseries. You know, this could be kind of misinterpreted from a Mayavadi perspective also, or it could be misinterpreted in various ways. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Nimai Pandit at that time, said that this concept or this understanding of liberation is inadequate. And he proceeded to give a kind of an exposition on what liberation is, and everybody was just so thoroughly impressed. They were speechless and stunned. And they were only hoping and praying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu someday would become a devotee so that, you know, then the whole world could be delivered because the world needed such brilliant devotees. Navadvip at that time was full of these scholars, but they were not devotee scholars. They were dry empiric philosophers, or they were just mundane, you know, brahmanas who were more interested in karma kanda and so on. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, even at that time, he used to praise Gadadhar Pandit. And after Nimai Pandit went to Gaya to perform the last rites of his father, who had passed away some time ago, he met Ishwarpuri there again, and he accepted initiation from him. And that was a landmark, because at that point, from that point on, Mahaprabhu actually manifested his devotional pastimes. So when Mahaprabhu returned, he began his devotional movement, the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. And at that time, he began to praise Gadadhar Pandit as if he had 5 mouths or 10 mouths. And he said, "Gadadhar, right from childhood, your mind has been fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. And you are a pure devotee. And just look at me. I wasted so many years of my life in the pursuit of dry scholarship, studying logic and grammar and metaphors and all of these things. And you are the really intelligent person." So he glorified Gadadhar Pandit's devotion. And Gadadhar Pandit, in a certain way, had the ability to almost control Mahaprabhu, to placate Mahaprabhu. One particular pastime is narrated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Mahaprabhu used to go into trances of intense separation from Krishna, because after all, he was in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And this mood of Radharani was specifically that mood when Krishna had left Vrindavan to go to Mathura and Dwarka. So he was bemoaning in the mood of Radharani the fact that he didn't have Krishna. So he was saying, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" He was asking. And Sachi Mata was in great anxiety, wondering, you know, how to pacify or console my son, because in those states of exalted consciousness, Mahaprabhu would do things that would frighten his mother. He would jump and he would dance, he would fall to the ground, you know, so he would do so many things that kept the devotees anxious about his well-being. So at that time, Gadadhar Pandit happened to be nearby. So Gadadhar Pandit went to Mahaprabhu and said, "Oh, you know, Krishna, you're searching for Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Let me tell you the answer. The answer is that Krishna is in your heart. So then you need not worry. Krishna is there with you, very close. You needn't go searching everywhere." And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then with his nails started to tear apart his chest. He was trying to do that, so because he heard Krishna is in the heart. So he wanted Krishna to be seen from his heart, because he was in that ecstatic trance. And then Gadadhar somehow pacified him, and he came back to his external consciousness again. And Sachi Mata was very pleased with this, and she told Gadadhar, "Gadadhar, you should always be with Nimai from now on, because it is only you who can keep him in check and to look after him and ensure that he doesn't harm himself." So in this way, the days passed in Navadvip. One time it so happened that a great devotee of Krishna called Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to Navadvip. Now even before Pundarik Vidyanidhi had come, Mahaprabhu would often shout out loudly, "Pundarik, my father, Pundarik, my father, where are you? Where are you coming?" And the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were unable to understand who this personality was. Who is this Pundarik, my father, and why is he addressing him as my father? And Pundarik Vidyanidhi came, sure enough, a few days later. So why did he address him as father? In the Gaur Ganodesha Deepika, it is mentioned that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is the incarnation of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, who in Vraj Leela is the father of Srimati Radharani. And because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani, so he was addressing Pundarik Vidyanidhi as father. So anyway, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was an exceptional devotee of the Lord. But he was also very unusual. He was not like the other followers of Mahaprabhu who externally lived very simply. All the pure devotees of Mahaprabhu were internally renounced, and so was Pundarik Vidyanidhi. But Pundarik Vidyanidhi externally led the life of a sense gratifier. It appeared to those whose eyes were untrained in devotional service that Pundarik Vidyanidhi was just a sensuous person. But that actually was not the case. In any case, Mukunda Datta, one of the associates of Mahaprabhu, hailed from the same place as Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So he was very well aware of the glories of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So one day Mukunda told Gadadhar Pandit, "Gadadhar, come with me. I will take you to meet a very, very great exalted devotee. So you must have his association." So Gadadhar was overjoyed. He said, "Wonderful, I want to meet such pure devotees." So when they went to meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi, however, Gadadhar Pandit was in for a shock. Because Gadadhar Pandit himself, as I mentioned earlier, was lifelong a very simple, austere, renounced brahmachari. And here, what did he see? He saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was living in an atmosphere of great opulence. And, you know, there were silken sheets on his seats, wherever he was sitting. And he was chewing betel nut. And he had all sorts of other opulences. His hair was, you know, perfumed with all sorts of fragrant oils, and his clothes were silken and very expensive, and, you know, so he had all the trappings of a sense gratifier. So when Gadadhar Pandit saw him, at first glance, he was taken aback, and he was surprised in his mind. He started thinking, "This is a pure devotee? How can this be? He's a sense gratifier." So in his mind, he actually offended Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Now, Mukunda Datta, being very intelligent, could understand what was going on in the mind of Gadadhar Pandit. And at that point, he recited a certain verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a famous verse that appears in the conversation between Vidura and Uddhava in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Aho baki yam stana kala kutam jigam saya payayat apyasadvi lebhe gatim dhatruti uchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam rajema. There is lamentation. What is the lamentation of Uddhava? That where will one get such a merciful personality or a master as Krishna? Krishna was so merciful that even though Putana had come to him with an intention to kill him, but because she came in the guise of a mother, Krishna accepted that aspect of motherhood. And even though he sucked out the poison and the life air from her breast, he actually gave her the position of a nurse, of a mother in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan. So who can be more merciful than Krishna? So this is Uddhava's mind, his feelings about Krishna. So when Mukunda Datta, who was known for a very sweet chanting, when he chanted this verse and Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this, you know, all Vrindavan broke loose. So You know, generally for materialistic persons, you know, they get angry, we say all hell broke loose, yes? So here we can say all Vrindavan broke loose, because Pundarik Vidyanidhi spontaneously started exhibiting such symptoms of devotional ecstasy that Gadadhar Pandit was just completely rendered speechless and struck with wonder. Pundarik Vidyanidhi fell off the floor, he tore his clothes, his hair was disheveled, and you know, he was just muttering incoherently, tears were flowing from his eyes, his body was trembling, etc. And Gadadhar Pandit was just watching, awestruck. And then he understood what an offense he had made, even though it was mental, towards Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And sometime later, at the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi, because Mahaprabhu said that is the way you can get rid of the offense that you have committed at the lotus feet of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. You know, so and also remember that Pundarik Vidya and Gadadhar Pandit is also Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radharani. So both of them have a special relationship with Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who is Vrishabhanu Maharaj. So then Gadadhar Pandit accepted Diksha or initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. After Mahaprabhu took sannyas and moved to Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit also moved with him. He stayed there, and Mahaprabhu gave him a place to stay in a place called Yameshwar Tota. The word Tota means garden. And around there is a temple called Tota Gopinath, a temple of Gopinath. But because it is in that garden, it is popularly known as Tota Gopinath Temple. So those of you who have been to Jagannath Puri may have been there, or you have at least heard of the place. It is a topic in itself. There are many, many pastimes associated with that. So in any case, that was the place where Gadadhar Pandit stayed. And he rendered his devotional services there. Now, Gadadhar Pandit took a vow that is called Kshetra Sannyas. Now, sannyas, as you know, is a vow of renunciation. What is Kshetra Sannyas then? The word Kshetra means a particular land or a region. So, to take Kshetra Sannyas, one doesn't have to be the sannyasi in the sense that a normal sannyasi would be. But a Kshetra Sannyasi refers to one who has taken a vow to never leave a certain holy place. So, Gadadhar Pandit took the vow that he would never leave Jagannath Puri for his whole life. So that went on for some time. It so happened that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to also go to Vrindavan. He had wanted to go to Vrindavan right after his initiation in Gaya. But somehow there was a heavenly voice that asked him to desist and said he had a mission to perform and therefore he should return to Navadvip. But now the desire to go to Vrindavan, even if for a visit, was becoming very, very powerful. Initially, the devotees in Puri, Jagannath Puri, somehow or the other managed to convince Mahaprabhu to not go. But finally, when Mahaprabhu was so persistent, they said, all right. And they made arrangements for his travel, including King Pratap Rudra. He was also involved in assisting in making arrangements for Mahaprabhu's travels to Vrindavan. So a few of the intimate associates of Mahaprabhu traveled with him up to a particular point, which is called the Chitrotpala River, in the outskirts of Jagannath Puri. And at that point, Mahaprabhu turned to Gadadhar Pandit and told him that, look, you have taken a vow of Kshetra Sannyas. that you will not leave Jagannath Puri. So now when we cross this river, we are going to go out of the region of Jagannath Puri. So you should return now. I will go to Vrindavan and I will come back in a short while and I will be with you again. So Gadadhar Pandit now started manifesting his mood of rebellious transcendental devotion, or his transcendental rebellion to Mahaprabhu. So he said, no, I will not go. Go back. I will come with you. So Mahaprabhu said, but Gadadhar, you have taken a vow of Kshetra Sannyas. It's a vow, so you can't give it up. So then Gadadhar Pandit replied, to hell with my vows of Kshetra Sannyas. You, Puri is where you are. So if I am with you, then I am with Jagannath, I am in Jagannath Puri, and therefore I will not be violating my rules of Kshetra Sannyas. Then Mahaprabhu said, but listen, Gadadhar, you are serving Gopinath at Tota Gopinath, near Yameshwara Tota. So now if you come with me, then you will not be able to do your service to Lord Gopinath. So Gadadhar replied again, a little in a feisty spirit. So he said, seeing your lotus feet is worth millions of times more than rendering any type of service to Gopinath. Then Mahaprabhu was saying, Gadadhar, if you're going to speak like this, you're going to really bring me into disrepute, because people will criticize me, saying that it's because of me that you broke your vow of Kshetra Sannyas. So it will be my fault. So Gadadhar Pandit said that I will take full responsibility for my action. So you need not worry that people will blame you. So I alone am responsible for this. So finally, Mahaprabhu relented. And they went on walking ahead. And after a while, they came to the city that exists even today called Cuttack, which is about 100 kilometers or so, I guess, from Jagannath Puri. So there, Mahaprabhu turned around and told him, Gadadhar, now you have succeeded in your determination to break your sannyas vow, Kshetra sannyas vow. So you have done what you wanted to. So now you don't need to come with me. Now you have to consider, if you are my surrendered devotee, you have to think, is it just your happiness that you're concerned about, or my happiness? If you want only your happiness and my unhappiness, then you come with me. But if you want my happiness, then you should return and perform your duties in Tota Gopinath, resume your vow again of Kshetra Sannyas, go back. So this is a very important lesson that Mahaprabhu has given via Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit, being Srimati Radharani, doesn't need to understand any lessons in surrender and devotion and responsibilities and duties in Krishna consciousness. Because on that platform of spontaneous love, there is no question of any requirement of instructions. But through Gadadhar Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has actually instructed all of us on the spirit of devotion and surrender. So the path of true devotion entails sacrificing our pleasures, our happiness, our desires for the happiness and pleasure and desires of Krishna and the spiritual master and the devotees, the Vaishnavas. This is a very important principle of rendering devotional service. In the materialistic principle of life is that everyone lives for his or her own personal pleasure. And because everybody is so selfishly motivated, there are so many conflicts. There are so many disruptions in relationships. dysfunctionality in relationships happens because of the peculiar nature of human beings centered around selfishness and lack of proper understanding of the service mood. So, when we are focused only on what can please Krishna, then that makes our life perfect. Srila Prabhupada, I was just listening yesterday at lunchtime, Prabhupada says, there's only one thing we have to do, how to please Krishna. Is Krishna happy or not? That's the only thing a devotee has to be concerned about. And then of course, Krishna will automatically look after the devotee. Krishna has promised on numerous occasions that he will protect his devotee. So the devotee doesn't care about his or her security and such things. But the devotee is only concerned with how Krishna can be pleased. Samsiddhir haritoshanam. See, this haritoshanam, toshanam means to satisfy. So this is the most sublime and important principle of devotional service. That is the difference between mixed devotional service and pure devotional service. In mixed devotional service, we may want to please Krishna, but with an ulterior motive. Ultimately, we want to please ourselves. We want to fulfill our own material desires. And therefore, we try to please Krishna. So that intention of wanting to please Krishna is motivated by ultimately a desire to please myself or oneself. So therefore, it is considered Mishra Bhakti or mixed devotion. However, the principle of pure devotion means that one is not concerned about any selfish motivation. To the degree that a devotee doesn't even seek liberation, a devotee does not even seek going to the spiritual world, a devotee is satisfied with continuing to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, and love Krishna in whatever way that Krishna may desire. So if Krishna may desire that we should continue to be in the material world for many, many more lives, the devotee says, so be it. Even though it will mean having to experience many problems in the material world. But the devotee is ready. This is the meaning of surrender and devotion. So this is the instruction that Mahaprabhu gave to all of us through Gadadhar Pandit. Ultimately, Gadadhar Pandit, with great reluctance, agreed, but he collapsed there on the ground, unconscious, because he could not bear the thought of being in separation physically from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please take care of him, escort him back to Jagannath Puri and take care of him. So from that point on, all those associates of Mahaprabhu who had accompanied him from Puri, they went back to Jagannath Puri, and Mahaprabhu went ahead towards Vrindavan with his one associate, with the one servant who had been allotted to him by the devotees. So in this way we see the kind of mood that Gadadhar Pandit had. It is an exceptional mood, a unique mood. And for us, Gadadhar Pandit is very special. Therefore, we see the name Gaur Gadadhar. Yes? Gaur refers to Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar refers to Gadadhar Pandit. So an important name or a set of deities for us is Gaur Gadadhar. So we are glorifying Gadadhar Pandit even though his disappearance day anniversary is over a day or two ago, but nevertheless the personality of Gadadhar Pandit is very, very inspirational for us. His example, his mood of devotion, his surrender, etc. So we can pray at the lotus feet of Srila Gadadhar Pandit that he may kindly grant us pure devotion at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also Sri Radha Shyam Sundar and Sri Vrindavan Dham. So I'll stop here. We almost come to the end of the 1 hour. So Guru Prasad Prabhu, I haven't crossed the time limit. I'm here. And I think we have 2 or 3 minutes for any questions or comments if anybody has any.
Hare Krishna devotees, anyone has anything to ask about Radha Pandit Maharaj?
Hare Krishna, my obeisances all goes to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Mandala Ram Prabhu. Okay.
My obeisances to you also, Maharaj. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with us some Krishna Gita. Just the one quick question. That you gave a Sanskrit verse, Aho Bhakti Swayam. I think it was referring to Putana. And her, you mentioned that she attained like liberation in Goloka Vrindavan as a nurse. And was it that she attained to Goloka Vrindavan, or did she just receive a certain type of liberation from Krishna?
Srila Prabhupada does mention that Putana's liberation wasn't just an ordinary type of liberation. Well, there are different types of liberation. There is the Mayavadi type of liberation in which one wants to merge into the impersonal Brahman, and that happens often with demoniac or demons who have been killed by the Supreme Lord. So that may happen to them. There are also other types of liberation that devotees of the Lord may attain, whereby they attain to the Vaikuntha planets. And their devotion is focused basically on Lord Narayan, the four-armed form. So their mood of devotion is imbued with awe and veneration or reverence. So they get that kind of liberation. And there are four types of that, where you get the same kind of opulence, you get the same type of form, you live on the same planet, or you live in the very close proximity to the Lord. So that's the second type of liberation. The third type of liberation is where you actually attain to Goloka Vrindavan. Now, there could be other more relatively minor types of liberation within the material world, in the sense getting liberated from sinful reactions and so on, but we're not talking about that. So, where did Putana go? What kind of liberation did she get? She definitely did not get the first two kinds of liberations that I mentioned. Did she attain to Goloka Vrindavan? Yes, she attained to Goloka Vrindavan. But Jiva Goswami, I believe, if I remember right, in one comment says it's an extension of Goloka Vrindavan, in which she had that mood, she became a nurse. She had the same mood of being like a mother, because a nurse is also like a mother. So where she had the Vatsalya Bhav, or the motherly love for Krishna. Okay, does that answer your question, Mandala Ram Prabhu?
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much for clearing that up for me.
Hare Krishna.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you, Maharaj. Actually, explaining about Gaur Gadadhar, I have seen the deities, some temples in around Mayapur, and I used to wonder about, because normally we see Nithai Gaur in most of the places, and in some places in I think Gaur Gadadhar, I think even in Janma, what is that, Mahaprabhu's appearance, neem tree is there, you know? What is
yes, the, yes, yes.
That location,
yes.
Also there is a temple of
yes, yes.
Gadadhar.
Yes, yes, yes.
That explains, yeah. It's very interesting to see, of course, the. It's natural to have Gaur and Gadadhar together. The way
Nithai and the God together, so you can understand that. Thank you for clarifying that. And also your explanation on Panchatattva is very, very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very nicely for us. It's wonderful. So thank you so very much for being with us, and I'm sure Lakshmi Group will arrange more presentations for us in the months to come.
Okay. Thank you very much, Guru Prasad Prabhu, and thank you to all the devotees who are there from Ottawa, Canada. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.
Hari Hari Bol.